The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
If we look to the answer as to why for so many years we achieved so much, prospered as no other people on earth, it was because here in this land, we unleashed the energy and individual genius of man to a greater extent than has ever been done before. Those who say that we're in a time when there are no heroes, they just don't know where to look. The sloping hills of Arlington National Cemetery, with its row upon row of simple white markers bearing crosses or stars of David, they add up to only a tiny fraction of the price that has been paid for our freedom. As for the enemies of freedom, those who are potential adversaries, they will be reminded that peace is the highest aspiration of the American people. We will negotiate for it, sacrifice for it. We will not surrender for it, now or ever. We are Americans.
This is the Bob Frantz Authority on AM 1420. The Answer.
It is indeed every bit of that. It's the Bob Frantz Authority on AM 1420. The Answer. Thanks so much for joining us as we get underway at 7 minutes past the hour of 9 o'clock on this ninth morning of the month of August in the year of our Lord 2018. Really appreciate you being here today. Coming up in about a half an hour, we're going to discuss a very important local issue that we brought up earlier this week, thanks to a lot of concerned citizens and listeners of this program for bringing it to my attention. Cuyahoga County is flirting with some dangerous territory here, all to appease one of the protected classes that they are most concerned with as they play their Democrat identity politics. The council is proposing an ordinance. It's number 2018. That's the year 2018-0009. And it would create a commission, a three-member Cuyahoga County executive-appointed commission, which would decide matters of discrimination against businesses and other public entities if they don't provide inclusive and diverse accommodations for all. In other words, this is about the LGBT community. It's about transgenders. It's about restrooms, locker rooms, shower rooms, and much, much more. And three hand-picked Armin Budish appointees, confirmed by the council, they would have to vote on it in the council, would have a say in what happens to any business or other organization that doesn't provide what they believe to be fair and diverse and inclusive accommodations for all, no matter how dangerous it might be for other people. It's a big deal. It's going to be voted on in the council next month. And joining us in about a half an hour from now, we are going to be talking with John Stover, who is the executive director of Ohio Values Voters, also a former Parma councilman. He'll join us to discuss this very, very, what I view to be very dangerous piece of legislation, this ordinance advanced by Cuyahoga County. So that'll be coming up at 9:35. Before and after that conversation, we are wide open for your phone calls on all of the news of the day. 216-901-0945 will get you here, as will 888-281-1110. You can also hit me up on Twitter, Radio Done Right on Twitter, Radio Done Right. And also you can get me on Facebook at France Radio, F-R-A-N-T-Z Radio. I've been very active on the social media platforms this morning. Again, ashamed to be there, but not surrendering the platform to the left. It really is. Twitter is poison. It is toxic. It is incredibly bad for all of us. But I'm not going to surrender the messaging to the Democrats. Just won't do it. So I've been very busy in posting some stories and some information that I think you're going to want to comment on. So find me on those platforms, and you will see them, and you can comment on them. And I'll read good comments, comments that are worthy, rather, not necessarily always positive, but on the air. There has been a Jeff Sessions sighting. perhaps the most invisible attorney general in recent memory, the man that we expected would be doing incredibly important yeoman's work in restoring honor to the Department of Justice and restoring integrity to the Department of Justice, Jeff Sessions, of course, who famously recused himself from anything having to do with the Russia investigation, leading us to the witch hunt where we are now. Has also been very silent on a number of other very important matters, such as directing, I guess is the best word I'm looking at. I wanted to say imposing. That wasn't going to work. Directing Deputy AG Rod Rosenstein, to cooperate with congressional committees, which are demanding documentation and information related to this investigation. He has been completely lax on the job in so many other ways. But there has been a sighting. He stands defiant. He spoke, Jeff Sessions, the attorney general, at the Alliance Defending Freedom summit, and he responded to the department, or excuse me, to the order by a federal judge, a district judge, giving one of those infamous nationwide orders, even though he is only a district judge, somehow deciding he can, and this is happening far too much, it's one of the things that Congress needs to address. But this federal judge, or district judge, deciding that President Trump and the Department of Justice must restore the DACA program that had been put in place illegally and unconstitutionally by Barack Obama. We all know that that was allowed to expire. It did have an end date. Let's remember that. It did have an end date, and it was allowed to expire by Jeff Sessions, and now the judge is saying you have to restore this. The Obama move was blocked by the courts. Now this judge says the Trump administration must fully reinstate the program. Sessions issued a scathing statement, not only slamming the judge for the decision, but also ripping the courts more broadly for their increasing tendency to think they can essentially bypass Congress and legislate from the bench while exerting undue control over the policy decisions of the executive branch. And that is precisely what the problem is, which is precisely why it was so important. I think we all understand this. Anybody listening to this program and listening to Hugh Hewitt and others on Salem, you understand this. But that's why it was so important to elect Donald Trump. Forget about walls for just a moment. Forget about the economy for just a moment. The judiciary has become more and more radical, more and more activist, rather than being judicial, rather than just interpreting the Constitution, which is their job, looking at the lawfulness or lawlessness of various pieces of legislation and lawsuits and so on and so forth. Guess what? Their job is not to be activists. Their job is not to make law from the bench. But that's exactly what continues to happen. And Jeff Sessions rightly disagreed, not only with the ruling, but with their continuing habit of legislating from the bench. So we needed a president to fill judicial vacancies on the federal benches with people who are going to be originalists. People who are going to be constitutionally bound first, not politically motivated and deciding to enact legislation, which is not their purview. It is absolutely not their job to enact legislation. That is Congress's job. And Jeff Sessions is saying we are going to fight against this continuing problem. The problem, of course, is that so many of the federal bench positions, these federal judges are already appointed and they're going to be there forever. But for the vacancies, we need to continue little by little by little to replace these judges with individuals who are going to use the Constitution to guide them rather than their own political political beliefs. Sessions said, quote, "The executive branch's authority to simply rescind a policy established only by a letter from the Secretary of the Department of Homeland Security is clearly established. The Department of Justice will take every lawful measure to vindicate the Department of Homeland Security's lawful rescission of DACA. The last administration," Sessions continued, "violated its duty to enforce our immigration laws by directing and implementing a categorical, multi-pronged, non-enforcement immigration policy for a massive group of illegal aliens," end quote. He also noted that the wrongful action on the part of the Obama administration had left DACA open to the exact same legal challenges that had undermined and invalidated a companion program known as DAPA. That's the Deferred Action for Parents of Americans and Lawful Permanent Residents, which was blocked and effectively killed by the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals back in 2015. These two policies, Sessions said, declared by officials of the previous administration by policy letters only, had been considered by Congress and rejected. The Trump administration's action to withdraw the policy letters simply reestablished the legal policies consistent with the law. What a shocking idea, right? That's radical. Jeff Sessions and the Trump administration saying, you know, we should probably allow legal policies to be consistent with the law. Not only did the Trump administration have the authority to withdraw this guidance letter, it had a duty to do so, Sessions continued. He proceeded to note how even former President Obama himself had repeatedly stated to the public on numerous occasions his policies, such as DACA and DAPA, were beyond the authority of the executive branch by way of the Constitution and within the realm of the legislature only, even as he nevertheless then ignored his own words of caution and implemented these policies anyway, regardless of their constitutionality. Sessions said, quote, the judicial branch has no power to eviscerate the lawful directives of Congress, nor to enjoin the executive branch from enforcing such mandates. He reminded prior to shredding the courts, in general for their judicial activism, very specifically on this case. Quote, we have recently witnessed a number of decisions in which courts have improperly used judicial power to steer, enjoin, modify, or direct executive policy. This ignores the wisdom of our founders and transfers policymaking questions from the constitutionally empowered and politically accountable branches, meaning the Congress, to the judicial branch. And that is perfectly stated by the Attorney General. Because the judicial branch is not politically accountable. Being unelected, which is why I talk to Daniel Horowitz on a regular basis about his brilliant book, Stolen Sovereignty, these people are unelected and therefore unaccountable. And anything they do with impunity. And it's up to the Congress, and in this case, the executive branch, with Attorney General Sessions, to steer Congress into a direction toward reminding the judiciary that they can't do this. There's going to have to be a law passed by the Congress that stops federal judges from making nationwide decisions. It also improperly undermines this administration's ability to protect our nation, its borders, and its citizens. The Trump administration and the DOJ will continue to aggressively defend the executive branch's lawful authority and duty to ensure a lawful system of immigration for our country. In other words, they are not going to do what this federal judge is, in their mind, unconstitutionally ordering them to do, which is to reinstate DACA. A companion story for that one today, as we talk a little bit about immigration, President Trump's ban on allowing welfare-dependent legal immigrants to resettle permanently in the United States would be a massive financial boon for the American taxpayer. Breitbart reported that the Trump administration is just about ready to roll out a plan in the next month that will bar foreign nationals who need government welfare in order to live from resettling in the United States. In other words, immigrants who come to this country, even lawfully, but who have nothing to add to this country, but who just come here to live off of the government's kindness and government subsidies, they're not going to be allowed to stay here long term. I don't see a problem with that. And by the way, this is for all legal immigrants to the United States. If you are coming to the United States, you have to have something to offer. And this is all about merit-based immigration. You have to have something to offer in some way to support and sustain yourself and your family, or else you're not going to be able to stay long-term. Such a ban on welfare importation through immigration has been by the Trump White House since February. This plan would be a huge boost to the American taxpayer, which currently spends about $57.4 billion a year. Let me say that number again, $57.4 billion, which means it is double the $25 billion cost that has been estimated for the building of a border wall. We're spending $57.4 billion a year on paying for the welfare, crime, and schooling costs of the country's mass importation of 1.5 million new, mostly low-skilled legal immigrants every year. Now, I'm going to say this. Let's add that $57.4 billion that it costs us for legal immigrants coming into the United States. Let's add to that the roughly $100 billion cost of illegal immigration, and we're looking at $150 billion a year legal and illegal immigration. And yet we can't afford a $25 billion drop in the bucket to put up a border wall that will limit that in such a massive way? Back to the legal low-skilled immigrants allowed into this country every year. In the last decade, we have imported more than 10 million foreign nationals and are on track to import the same amount in the coming decade if legal immigration controls are not implemented. And this is one of the controls being sought by the Trump administration, that if you have to come here and live off of the American subsidies, let's put it that way, then you can't stay here. You can't resettle here. You might be here legally for now, but you are going to have to leave. Your visa is going to expire. You're not going to be given residency because we just can't import more people to leech off of American resources, which do have a breaking point. It is a fine. We are not a limitless financial or economic nation. There is a finite amount of dollars that are available to help people who are already here. And considering the number of impoverished Americans who already don't get enough to help them get back on their feet, including and especially homeless veterans, considering we have enough people that we have to try to feed and subsidize here to help them get moving, we don't need and cannot afford to continue to import a whole bunch of other people who are automatically needy and need American assistance as opposed to coming here to contribute to the American economy by getting a job and carrying their own weight. So it's a big deal. And Jeff Sessions is calling for the passage of this as well. This is something the Trump administration is going to be rolling out very soon, probably within the next month, which is probably good timing anyway, because we'll be even closer to the midterm elections. All right, it's 9:22. Let's get our first time out and check off traffic here. And I do want you to be on the phone lines when I come back. 216-901-0945. It's the Bob France Authority on AM 1420, The Answer.
Gallagher, coming up at 11 on AM 1420, The Answer.
Kind of all over immigration stories this morning, and for really some very, very sad reasons. First, let me move on to a positive one, and then I'll tell you some of the sad reasons why. Representative Andy Biggs, a Republican from Arizona, introduced a bill, not yesterday, it was Tuesday, to come up with a creative idea and a creative solution for solving the border funding issue. Now, like I said before, when you consider the fact that illegal immigration costs us over $100 billion a year, legal immigration costs us around $50 billion a year, a $25 billion one-time payment for a border wall is nothing. It is a very, very prudent and shrewd investment to try to limit the flow of illegal immigrants into this country. Well, Andy Biggs, though, says, you know what, we can even, you know, increase the value this way. Let's fund the border wall by penalizing the countries by the head whose citizens continue to enter this country illegally. $2,000 a head is the proposal by Andy Biggs. He's calling it the Fund and Complete the Border Wall Act. And what it would do is penalize countries $2,000 in foreign aid for each person who crosses the border illegally. Now, we know we're not going to get them to write us a check. But what we can do is any country that receives aid from the United States, including Mexico, we're going to deduct $2,000 in aid that we give you for each individual who crosses the border illegally, and we're going to allocate those funds instead for the border wall. Conservative Review has previously reported that Border Patrol agents are currently only 50% effective, and vast numbers of immigrants continue to enter the United States illegally each month. And we use that word immigrants, I think, probably erroneously, because they're aliens. Immigrating to a country means you are coming to a country with their permission, and you are relocating from one to another with permission. This is not immigration. This is invasion. This is alien invasion, and it cannot be tolerated. Even with a Republican-controlled House and Senate, said Biggs, we have failed to secure the funds for the border wall. In the meantime, our border agents are suffering demoralizing losses of resources and personnel. Some in Congress view border security as leverage for an amnesty deal, but that would turn a crisis into a catastrophe. The bill also increases, doesn't matter. Let's just stick to the border wall part of this. So at the end of the day, it would be a really, really interesting way of saying, hey, Mexican government, Guatemalan government, Honduran government, anywhere, any country in the world that receives aid from the United States in any way, whether it be, you know, in terms of resource, in terms of food, in terms of fuel, in terms of military support, any aid that we get whatsoever, we're going to reduce by $2,000 a head. And that would entice them, I would imagine, it would incentivize them into keeping control of their own side of the border. Don't let them near the border because you know it's going to cost you money. Every single person that jumps across that border from the Mexican side, understand Mexican government that they're costing you $2,000, every one of them. So if it's thousands a month the way that it is, multiply that times 2,000, you're losing that aid from the United States. There you go. That's some incentive. And obviously it extends down into whatever country is responsible for allowing so many into Mexico so they can use Mexico as a conduit to the United States by way of our southern border. It's not a bad idea. Much more immigration. The Philadelphia mayor, Jim Kenney, the lunatic, has blood on his hands. Nancy Pelosi is arguing for votes for Democrats to specifically give illegal aliens leverage in the United States. No, she said those words. We'll give you those stories and more coming up. Right now, we'll get news. And on the other side, we'll go back to local issues. Cuyahoga County creating a commission that they will vote on next month that could be very, very dangerous, particularly for women and girls in this county. So we'll talk about that as we continue as well right here on AM 1420, The Answer.
Mike Gallagher, weekday mornings at 11 on AM 1420, The Answer.
All right, 9:35 now, the Bob France Authority continuing on AM 1420, The Answer. I will come back to the myriad of immigration stories that I want to share with you as we get closer and closer to the midterm elections. Democrat leadership continues to give us more and more reasons, give people more and more reasons to vote for Republicans with their unbelievable actions and decisions and statements. So we'll tell you more about that as we continue. But let's come back to local issues now in Cuyahoga County. We started telling you about this on Tuesday. I was made aware by two or three different sources saying, are you following what Cuyahoga County is about to do? And I said, no. They said, check out ordinance number 2018-0009 from the Cuyahoga County Council and take a look at this commission. This is an ordinance that would enact Chapter 206.13, a commission on human rights, and Title 15, anti-discrimination, to ensure equal opportunity and treatment of all citizens of Cuyahoga County. And while that on the surface might sound like a nice flowery title of something, yeah, we want everybody to be treated fairly, sure, no problem with that. No, we don't like discrimination, so we want anti-discrimination. Human rights, yeah, we're pro-human rights too. But that name is not what this council, or what this commission, rather, is going to do. It is going to be very, very devastating to businesses and potentially dangerous to women. Joining us to talk about it is one of the individuals who brought it to my attention. John Stover is a former Parma councilman, and he's currently the executive director of Ohio Values Voters, which is a 501c4 entity. John, thanks for coming on the program today. How are you, sir?
Good. Thank you, Bob, for having me.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. You and I spoke off the air, obviously, earlier this week, and I'm glad to get you on the air now so that you can discuss this a little bit more in a little bit more detail. Tell me what you know about this commission and how it was originated.
Well, you know,
or is planned to be originated. It doesn't exist yet, so let's be clear about that. This is what they're going to vote on next month, but this plan to create this commission. Sorry.
Yes, Bob, this was planned to be voted on 2 days ago on the 7th. It was postponed until September 12th. At 5 p.m. at the Cuyahoga County Council meeting. Now I understand that it may be postponed until the 26th, according to Del Miller, who is a county council representative. I had reached out to all of the Cuyahoga County Council members. Only Del Miller was the only one that responded back to me. But this is a, you know, as a former Parma councilman for 12 years, you know, I got involved with writing a number of pieces of legislation, reviewed a number of pieces of legislation. And, you know, when I saw this, it certainly doesn't make any sense at all, because we have a number of federal and state agencies that are out there to protect LGBT people, the community, et cetera, when it comes to housing, when it comes to employment, et cetera.
Right.
This legislation here, unfortunately, does a number of things, and it's certainly going to be the detriment of people in Cuyahoga County, both, as you stated, businesses as well as the citizens. The legislation would create a three-member commission that would hear complaints that would be filed. The cost alone to taxpayers, when I looked at it, I estimated to be anywhere from $150,000 to $250,000 per year. It will provide once again, someone that feels that they have been discriminated against. Don't know if you've shared with your listeners the story about Planet Fitness, but that story of Planet Fitness is certainly what we can expect to see here in Tioga County if this passes. A woman goes into a Planet Fitness, then she goes into the ladies' room to change, runs upon a man who is putting on makeup. She waits one whole hour for this individual to finish putting on his makeup. And he doesn't do so, so he chases her out in the parking lot, calls 911 saying that he had been discriminated against. Now, with this type of law being passed in the county, it very well could be that under a similar circumstance, this woman would have discriminated against this individual, and this man would have filed a complaint with the commission. The commission then would have, which will have subpoena powers according to this ordinance, would have subpoena powers to force this woman to come in to testify. The commission can also level a fine of for first offense of $1,000, $2,500 second, and $5,000 the third, and we can also and will also have the power to force a individual that had in their mind and in their estimation had actually discriminated against a member of the LGBT community. They would also be subject to paying court costs. Something that's also important, you know, I'm assuming that the county council, Bob, they've done their homework relative to this. But it's important to note that as any legislator, you always want to guard the rights of the minority. And there's no question about that. But when you look at this legislation and who it will protect, especially when it comes to the transgenders that live in the county, this was not, and this report that I reviewed earlier is by the Williams Institute, and it's they determined that in Ohio, the number of transgenders that identify themselves is really 0.5%. Now, these are transgenders, just to explain to your listeners, these are individuals that feel that, you know, that they are identify with the opposite sex from which they were born. So we're talking about one individual out of 200 residents identify as that. So let's say that all 0.5% are men. Well, what we're doing here, at least the county council is considering to do here in our county, is to provide legislation that once again would allow men to walk into a ladies' restroom, use that restroom, or a shower facility, et cetera. And when you look at the legislation, and I've read this probably 5-6 times over, look on page 9 and you look at the definitions for gender identity or expression means, and this is the, I'm going to quote from the legislation, means an individual's actual or perceived gender-related identity, appearance, expression, mannerisms, or other gender-related characteristics, regardless of the individual's designated sex at birth. So that's who would fall under that. So if a individual, and you're going to have a number of men that are going to take advantage of this, you're going to feel empowered, that are interested in doing nothing more than
let me interrupt you for a second here, John. Let me interrupt you for a second because you're covering so much ground here. I've already forgotten 4 follow-up questions. So
all right.
Let me jump in on that part. This is an important part of this. Read that again to us. Individuals who may use whatever restroom or shower or spa or public pool, changing room, all of these things are in play here. Who would be able to use those with impunity? And if somebody tries to stop them from doing so, they would be or could be reported to this commission and then face all of those punitive measures that you just mentioned. Can you read that last part again?
Yes. Well, before I read that part, Bob, let me just go over places of public accommodation.
Okay.
This is another definition which is very important, and this basically covers all areas that this law by the county council will apply. It says places of public accommodation means any hotel, motel, inn, restaurant, eating establishment, public swimming pool, public sports facility, public sports arena, theme park, amusement park, museum, barbershop, public conveyance by air, land or water, movie theater, music arena, concert hall, performing arts venue, theater store, or other places for the sale of merchandise to the public, or any other place of public accommodation or amusement where the accommodations, advantages, facilities, or privileges thereof are available to the public. So basically, this covers all the county. Business, any recreational facility, et cetera. And then going back to the gender identity or expression, this means an individual's actual or perceived gender-related identity, appearance, expression, mannerism, or other gender-related characteristics, regardless of the individual's designated sex at birth.
Okay, now let me stop you there, because this is the part that I wanted to follow up on. They're going to ask employees, essentially, at any or all of the aforementioned public accommodation facilities you just mentioned, to determine whether someone's mannerisms sufficiently meet in their mind that the fact that they think they're a different gender than what their actual physical biological gender is. They're asking workers, or let me put it as a question. Are they going to ask employees and workers to decide who meets the criteria to go in or not? Because you could have let's just look at this. Look at how long Bruce Jenner lived, believing he said in his head or in his heart that he was female, but lived as a male. He never looked or dressed for a large part of his life as a female, but he felt that way. So are we going to ask employees or employers to, at these public accommodation places, to stand outside the doors of restrooms, shower rooms, changing rooms, locker rooms, et cetera, and all of these different places. And if some guy looking like pre-transition Bruce Jenner walks in and says, I'm going to the bathroom. Hey, wait a minute, you don't look female. Well, so what? I feel female. Oh, well, show me some mannerisms. Show me something that says that you feel female, because right now you just look like a guy. Are we going to actually ask people to make that determination? Because if we're not, John, then we're obviously going to allow that person to walk in. And he could be a pervert. He could be in there doing upskirt photographing. He could be in there leering, ogling, staring at, just camping out and watching women as they come and go to change. I mean, literally, we would have no recourse, because if you even ask them, hey, you don't look female enough to me, or you don't look, you know, feminine enough to me to buy that you feel like you're a woman, that person could be brought before the commission, and so could the employer.
Yeah, you're right. You're right, Bob. You hit the nail right on the head. And so what that means, basically, is that when it comes to, in the example you provided, be it a restaurant or it could be a public swimming pool, that the employer or those that work there are going to, for fear of being called before the tribunal, or let me turn it to commission.
Commission.
yes, I've used the tribunal word. But anyway, they're going
to like
be
that better, actually. That's how it feels.
Yeah.
But go ahead.
Yeah, but for their concern, they're going to be politically correct, and it's going to be basically no holds barred when it comes to men walking into ladies' restrooms. And what you just described, if your listeners will do, and many people, of course, they have the ability, just run a Google search, transgenders in women's bathrooms, and you'll see everything you described has already happened in other parts of the country.
Well, there's a story that I told on Tuesday after you and I spoke off the air, and I kind of presented this on Tuesday, this commission in Cuyahoga County that they're trying to create in Seattle, of a man who I don't think he was trying to get away with something. He was trying to prove the point about how dangerous this is. A man in a Seattle public pool area went directly into a women's locker room and started to undress. And people were freaking out, women rightfully freaking out. Here's a guy who's about to get naked in a women's area of privacy, women's changing room at a public pool. They're going to undress. He's going to undress. And the women complained. And when he was asked to leave, he said, no. There's a new state rule that says I can go whichever one of these that I want based on how I feel, not on what my biology says I am, but how I feel. And I think it was probably just a test to see if he could get away with this in order to point out the absurdity of it. If he can, anybody can. And there are some very dangerous people out there who would be putting women, our wives, our daughters, our mothers, our sisters in very serious jeopardy.
Hey, Bob, let me just make this statement here, because when I reached out to all members of the county council in my email that I sent to them, I asked this question: would you want to subject your mother, your grandmother, your wife, your sister, et cetera, to this type of situation. You know, and I only had Del Miller respond back, but he didn't get into answering that specific question that I raised, because this is once again one of the worst pieces of legislation I have seen in some time, and it certainly goes against what I believe the values are of the people of Cuyahoga County, and it certainly, as you stated, is going to put the ladies at risk. You know, and this is so bad
for so many people, for the women that we just described, but as I described previously, to employers and employees of businesses that provide quote unquote public accommodation, as you just listed, you know, all of these people are going to be hurt by this. Women are going to be danger, and employers and employees are going to be in danger of being dragged before a commission and called a bigot for simply trying to enforce long established civil societal gender norms, which is men go in various places of undress with one another, and women go with one another to prevent any dangers of sexual assaults, those kinds of things happening, and even just quite simply privacy. You know, this is the way society, every society has been built, and now we're going to try to deconstruct that all because of the political pressure put on by a protected class of people. And the nobody is calling any individual of the LGBT community necessarily bullies or anything of the like. But as an organization, when they try to influence, intimidate, harass, and threaten government bodies into doing these things or face political backlash or worse, it's quite frankly mafioso strong arm tactics. And I think that's what the organization, the LGBTQ mafia, is an accurate term. I'll let you have the last word. Go ahead.
Yes, and for your listeners, Bob, I would state that if they are as appalled as I was when I learned of this, and many other people that I've spoken to, I would urge them to contact, I have a couple of numbers here, the Cuyahoga County Executive, who is Armin Budish. His number is 216-443-7178, 216-443-7178. The County Council number. And you don't have to ask for anyone. You can just call and leave a message and basically state, look, I am opposed to ordinance number 2018-0009, ordinance to allow men into ladies' restroom, locker room facilities. County Council's number is 216-698-2010, 216-698-2010.
I wrote those down as you gave them. I will share those throughout the rest of the hour and other programs. Again, reminder, John Stover, who is the executive director of Ohio Values Voters, the meeting is scheduled for a vote now that is scheduled for a vote on this ordinance is September 12th, correct?
Yes.
Do they have any other meetings before that in which they will hear public comment on this, or should people just plan on reaching out to them by way of the phone numbers you did and then, you know, descending? Is it a public meeting? Can they come on September 12th even?
Oh, yes. Meeting is scheduled. Once again, it's September 12th, 5 p.m. But I would, since there is a possibility that it could be delayed again, they would need to call the county council office at that 216-698-2010 number just to verify that the meeting is still going to be held.
Is that their next meeting, or do they have any in August before that?
No, that would be their next meeting to discuss this legislation.
Okay, very good, because I want to make sure to give people all the information they need in order to be heard on this. John Stover, really, really appreciate you coming on and sharing all this important information with us. If you do hear back from your letter, from the members of the county council by way of your letter, please let us know. Keep us posted on any new developments and let us know what they say. I'm going to do some reaching ourselves. We are here at the radio station to see if any of them have the courage to come on and defend this legislation if they support it on the radio. And please keep us posted.
I will do that, Bob. And thank you very much for covering this on your radio talk show program.
It is a pleasure to have you on, John. Thanks very much. It is important. Okay, 9:53 now. Let's get a timeout. Come back on AM 1420, The Answer. Yeah. My, oh, my. Quite an interesting conversation we just had with John Stover, huh? Interested in your reaction to it after the top of the hour news break. Obviously, we're about 3 minutes away from that, so no point in calling now, but dial 216-901-0945.
with your thoughts on this. The section of the ordinance that we are most concerned about, unlawful discrimination in a place of a public accommodations. It shall be an unlawful discriminatory practice, A, for any proprietor or employee, agent, keeper, or manager of a place of public accommodation to deny, discriminate against, or treat differently any person except for reasons applicable alike to all persons, regardless of race, color, religion, military status, national origin, disability, age, ancestry, sex, sexual orientation, or gender identity or expression, the full enjoyment of the accommodations, advantages, facilities, and privileges of a place of a public of place of public accommodation. B, for any person to knowingly aid, incite, compel, coerce, or participate in the doing of any act declared to be an unlawful discriminatory practice under this section. In other words, if any employee of a business in a public place tries to steer somebody who is a man biologically to the male accommodation facilities, when the male is determined by way of his mental state, I feel like a woman today, or just period, I feel like a woman, anybody who tries to steer them into the correct place biologically, they would be, or could be anyway, brought before this Cuyahoga County Commission on Human Rights. What are they calling this thing again? They're calling it Cuyahoga County Commission on...
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.